This is Monty in the Morning, the show Phoenix Magazine readers voted number one talk radio show in Arizona.
Number one during your morning commute.
Number one whenever news breaks during your day.
And number one whenever and wherever you want to talk sports.
Now it's time for Monty in the Morning.
Hey, yo, man. The Monty Show. How the heck are you? Thanks for hitting the subscribe button on YouTube. You want to find us, just search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Yep, that SEO is in full effect. I almost said full MFing effect there.
Okay,
but
good
we're
job.
We're under a cursing moratorium on this show. We have got a lot to get to today. We got to talk NFL quarterbacks, Carson Wentz. Why is Dak Prescott still wondering about his deal? When is that going to get done? We'll talk about Big Fat Roethlisberger, amongst others in the quarter. Nothing on that?
Nothing.
Amongst others in the NFL quarterback reigns. We got to talk Jazz beating the Clippers last night. But I want to start right now with Fernando Tatis Jr.
Wait, are we talking baseball?
We are. Isn't it nice?
Really nice.
Isn't it nice to it actually is refreshing to be talking baseball.
Yes.
Baseball. The reason we bring up Fernando Tatis Jr. in case you were hit by a bus or under a rock is he signed a gigantor contract with the San Diego Padres last night and or agreed to sign whatever you want to call it. It's a $300 million deal for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he'll be 36 when it expires.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody celebrated in Whale's Vagina, San Diego, my favorite city on earth. And maybe I'm a pessimist.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up poor, indigent. Okay, that's a lie. I grew up without a lot of money. My mom wouldn't buy me Jordans, and I'm bitter about it.
Now you have a ton of Jordans.
Yeah, when people get paid, I tend to notice that. Mm-hmm. But I also start looking at the financial ramifications and the larger financial picture of a deal like this. So, Jake, I ask you, was it a mistake for the San Diego Padres to give Fernando Tatis Jr. this much money right now?
Yeah, I mean, on some level, I think mistake isn't the word I want to use. I would much rather say that it's just too early. Like, it's potentially a mistake, but it's not quite a mistake yet, and here's why. It's not a mistake because he's going to start on opening day for you. He's likely going to continue to put up these numbers. But this deal can quickly become a big mistake for your organization if Tatis turns into a guy who's hurt all the time and only plays like 125 games a year. You know, if he turns into that kind of guy on a 14-year deal.
What would make you think that he would be injury prone?
Right. Yeah.
Well,
he has a history.
He has a bit of an injury history.
Mm-hmm.
But say it again. How many career games has Fernando Tatis Jr. played?
143.
In his entire baseball career,
mm-hmm.
at the big league level, he's played 143 games. His talent is not in question. His star power is not in question. His clutch gene's not in question. I thought he did really well in the postseason. It's 143 games.
Yeah, he's young. It's too early. And thing about this, the real issue I have with this is that I don't really have an issue that they signed him to a long-term deal. That idea is not what I have an issue with. It's the timing with which you sign this guy. You did not need to do this for another two seasons. You could have kept him at a basically league minimum level, which would have been like $500,000, $700,000. Like, essentially, you're paying a star player under $1 million a year, which brings you massive flexibility financially. But instead, what you did is you went ahead and you just secured him for, 14 years? I mean, that's just a long time. Now, on the flip side of this, the silver lining is, yeah, obviously now you've got what appears to be your franchise player and your starting shortstop lined up for over a decade now. And the only question is really going to be, how many World Series can they win? Because now you've got pitching, you've got hitting, you've got defense. I mean, you've got everything that you need to go out and win. But here's what we know about baseball, and this is the thing that nobody wants to talk about, is that no matter how much talent you have on the field, that doesn't mean you're going to win every single day. That does not mean you're going to win a World Series. That does not mean that you're going to make a deep postseason run. So I just think it's a very slippery slope when you get antsy and you jump the gun and you sign a guy to a massive deal, one of the biggest deals in baseball and sports history, before you really had to. That's what concerns me.
Yeah, and I think history is littered with guys like this. And the guy that everybody's pointing to is Alex Rodriguez, which I totally understand. But Alex Rodriguez had a long career before the Yankees ponied up all that money to him. Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to make more on this deal than Alex Rodriguez did.
Mm-hmm.
And I point to the timing of things based on your roster that's currently in place. This is, in my opinion, one of the best teams in baseball now. It was one of the best teams in baseball before you made this decision,
mm-hmm.
right? Fernando Tatis didn't have any idea or any inclination to leave this organization. There was no pressure. There was no reason.
Right.
You had club control for the next three seasons. And I don't understand why you did this now. So when I look at where they are, I say to myself, hey, this is the Padres. This is, and by the way, I watch a ton of Padre baseball. This is my number two team. Beyond the Chicago Cubs, who are not going to be fascinating on any level, the Padres are my number two team. That is, to me, maybe coloring my view of this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I am too passionate about this. But when I look at the Padres, I worry about their payroll. I worry about their sustainability. I worry about the fact that the Padres have not shown a real high tolerance for pain,
mm-hmm.
especially financial pain. You have got big, big deals in Hosmer. In Eric Hosmer, I think that was absolutely the right signing. He was the guy that brought you credibility. That's a massive contract.
Yeah.
Right? Then you look at Manny Machado. That's a massive contract.
Mm-hmm.
You add Tatis to that.
On top of the pitching contract.
Yeah, and then you look at some of the money you're paying to, like, you, Darvish. That's almost a no-lose situation with Darvish.
Yeah.
Right? I think you even got a discount on Darvish if he continues to progress forward. My point is, this is a small market team in San Diego that historically has struggled financially. And all of a sudden, you are just dumping hundreds of millions of dollars into guys.
Mm-hmm.
That has never played out well in the history of baseball. I get it. There's TV money. There's all kinds of – I get it. I understand it. This is going to be arguably the most exciting team in baseball for probably the next 5 years.
Lots of Sunday night baseball on ESPN.
Totally get that. You're going to sell merchandise. You're going to sell more tickets. If we ever get by the Rona, you're going to have tons of beer. Like, you are going to be lit, right? It still makes me nervous because you're the Padres. And what this does, and this is the other thing, what this contract does is it ratchets up the pressure to win a World Series now.
Yep.
And everybody's talking about how, hey, this lengthens the World Series window. I totally get that, and I totally agree with that. It lengthens your ability to compete for a championship at least for the next 3 to 5 seasons, right? Because you don't play in 14-year windows in Major League Baseball. For the next 3 to 5 years, you are arguably the hottest team in baseball.
Yep.
But how many times have we seen that? How many Chicago Cub rebuilds have we seen?
It's
the Houston Astros. Are you going to win 3 of the next 5 World Series? On paper, you probably should. But look at the Cubs. The Cubs won one, and they haven't been heard from since. You look at now the appetite of the San Diego Padre fan. Is it good enough just to make the playoffs? Hell, is it good enough just to win the division at this point?
No.
It probably is not. No. Not with the money that you've spent.
No, you got to win the NL. That's the minimum.
But will they? Think about that.
I don't know. I mean, this is, again, baseball is very different. And I know that baseball is a sport that everybody says is too slow and is not exciting and it's not the NBA or the NFL or the NHL. But here's the deal with baseball. The one unique thing that I love about baseball over all the other sports is no matter how much talent you have on the field, you can still win a game anytime. So when you're playing 3 and 4 game sets, you notice that it's rare that a team will get swept you know, three games in a row. Usually they'll win like one, like a bad team in Major League Baseball. They'll win one out of three games, you know, but they're still a bad team, you know, and that's my thing. Even though they have all this talent, it's still not guaranteed. It's not like the NBA where you're going to sign LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Bosh, and then you're going to add Ray Allen, and then you're going to add Chalmers and all these guys, right? And that essentially is guaranteeing you a championship because LeBron is such a dominant player on the floor. That's not how it works in Major League Baseball. You know, Major League Baseball is the ultimate team sport, you know? Even if you're having an amazing day at the office as a pitcher, one mistake by an infielder and it's over, you know? And that's my concern here. Now, do I think that they're going to contend for a World Series? Absolutely. Unless they have major injuries across this roster, yes, they're going to be certainly a contender for the NL championship, certainly. But I would expect them to make a World Series appearance shortly. And I think that the NL West just got super exciting. Like, I think the Dodgers, the Padres, are those two teams are going to battle it out. And then you've got the Rockies, the Giants, and the D-backs to round out the division. So,
yeah, it's fascinating to me. The Dodgers are that team. When you have a guy like Walker Buehler, when you have all this youth that you own, you're going to contend for years at a time.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers and the Padres are right next to each other. And I actually think on paper, Padres are a little better. I mean, defensively, the Padres are
miles ahead.
Like, you're making pragmatic baseball. You moved on from Austin Hedges, for crying out loud.
Yep.
We don't have to talk about Hedges not hitting anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you've moved on. You've done a great job in the draft.
Yeah.
You've done a great job in trades. Fernando Tatis Jr. should be a Chicago White Sox, for crying out loud. If that makes any sense based on their talent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you've done all this great work. The Yu Darvish deal, like all of these things you've done to build this team. Why take that extra step? Why take the extra risk with Tatis's contract when you didn't need to? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
His talent is unquestioned. His star power is unquestioned. I just don't understand the timing.
It's early, but it is what it is. Hey, if the guy comes out and he's a 280 hitter and he's a great defender and everything's awesome, great. That's fine. But I'm just telling you, 5 years down the line, when this team is potentially not good anymore and you still have Fernando Tatis Jr. in your lineup, you'll understand why. You know, you'll understand that, hey, this is the contract we signed. So,
listen, I I'm not trying to be, you know, Danny Downer. I don't have a Timmy Downer thing. I don't have a way to do that. I these kind of signings, when you reward a young player early, never work out. And frankly, huge contracts in baseball almost never work out.
Mike Trout's is really the only one that's been.
Yeah. Did look at A-Rod. Again, did the A-Rod deal work out for the Yankees?
Not really.
Probably not.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
But you look at,
you won a World Series.
Albert Pujols and Josh Hamilton, and, you know, I mean, there's so
Albert
many
Pujols'
deals,
contract is one of the worst contracts in the history of baseball.
Yeah.
Based on his production. And they didn't win. Now, the Angels don't invest in pitching.
The Angels are never going to win, dude.
That's probably it, yeah. Right? But you don't question contracts like Mike Trout, because he's done it year after year. He's shown he's durable. He's shown he's consistent. I just don't think you – has Fernando Tatis even earned that deal yet?
No, he has not. It's too early.
You
haven't even played a full season yet. You know, it's not like you've got five All-Star appearances and, like, you know, you're a Gold Glover already and a Silver Slugger. Like, you don't have all these individual awards yet to warrant the deal. But what I will say on the positive side of this conversation, like, yeah, he's going to be a great player. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's already got the star power. I'm just telling you, if this the biggest concern in these situations when you pay a guy before he really deserves it and has earned it is that you paid him, you signed your life away. Okay, cool. What if he suffers a major injury or that happens? What if you're in that position? That's trouble. That's big time trouble.
Well, and I think that would be the same situation in, you know, in a couple of years when you sign him,
mm-hmm.
right? But, like, if you look up and down, you know, you look at some of the opinions on this. Like I asked, did the Padres sign him too early? Did they make a mistake? Steven Woods, our guy at
Steven.
What?
How we doing?
You know. Ben and Woods in the morning in San Diego. Said, nah, you don't watch him every day. He's worth every single penny. Well, we do watch him every day. Right? I don't know why it surprises people so much that I'm a Padre fan.
Hey, really quick. Yeah, you're right. We haven't been watching him every day for 5 years, mainly because he hasn't been playing for 5 years. He's played 143 games.
My point is, you know, why are people surprised that, like, you know how many games we've been doing that, but like that's a pilgrimage for us. Yeah. Like it's not like I'm a huge Padre fan.
We've been talking Padre baseball for like 5 years.
Yeah, to the point where Diamondback fans are tired of hearing about it.
Yeah,
right?
You know, it's this whole thing where. Look, and I love Ben and Woods, man. I love the show. If you don't follow that their story and what they've been through to get to where they are now, you don't have an appreciation for that whole process they've been through. But listen, like the fact is we do watch Padre baseball. The fact is that we do know how much it hurt the Padres when Lamet went down. We do know, you know, the Austin Hedges saga. And everything like that. So
the Upton saga, if you don't follow Padre baseball, I don't think you understand the pain that fan base has been through.
Yeah.
So I understand why there is jubilation this morning in San Diego over Fernando Tatis Jr.'s contract. Right?
I get it. Yeah.
What Stephen Woods also says is that it absolutely does, given that far inferior talent will be getting more money in the offseason. You get a generational talent, you lock him up early, it's a no-brainer. King Sean 13 says, yeah, let's wait a couple of years and then it's worth close to $500 million. Right, but you would have won with him. He would have proven himself. You wouldn't have cared about $500 million because you'd have been making more than that on him at that
easily.
Point. Right? Like the money's not the issue. Necessarily. The issue is, what are you going to get in return for that? And right now, you can forecast forward, but you really don't know what his stamina over 162 games. And man, hopefully, that's like 175, 180 games.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what that is at this point, right? Like if you play... You know, what does it take to win a World Series? Let's just say that it's seven games, two series.
It's like an extra 25 games.
Yeah, like you don't know. He's never played that volume.
Yeah.
Right. He had a great year in a half season last year. I just want him to play one full season at least.
Yeah.
You know that's all I'm saying.
I also think though with the Padres and this is, you know, maybe this is where the whole small market thing comes in, because when you do, like, you know, if you compare him to a behemoth and, you know, just the Yankees or whatever big market team you want to compare him to, big market teams operate in a different mindset than small market teams do. And I think that when you're a small market team and you've been through the struggle the Padres have been through, when you've been in a situation where you don't want to spend money yet you're raising ticket prices and your fans are pissed, like when you go through that whole process and then you finally get your generational talent, as Woods put it, you know, that caliber of player that you feel like is going to be your guy for at least a decade. Yeah, I understand why you want to sign him and lock him up. And I also understand the other guy's point about, like, hey, he'll be worth, you know, you're going to have to pay $500 million. Okay, well, that's just how sports works, man. This is the Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott conversation.
Yeah.
You know, if Dak is going to get 40 a year, Patrick's getting 50. You know, like, it's that whole conversation. So I don't really worry about the, you know, if you pay him in 3 years, he's worth more conversation, just because that's the economics of sports. But my point here is that you just have to be careful with how many of these huge deals you're handing out, because now... And this is a question that I think is super pertinent now. What is the expectation for this team? Because based on the roster, based on the pitching you have, I don't think it's unfair, unrealistic to say, hey, the expectation is a World Series appearance. I'm never going to be the guy that says to a team, hey, the expectation is to win a World Series when you've never even been there with the talent you have, right? But I do think a World Series appearance should be the expectation, because they should be able to win the division now, or certainly compete for it, you know, and be right there with the Dodgers all year long, which I super look forward to. You know, so you're going to have that battle all year long. You should win a lot of those games. That should be a pretty even battle across 20, 25 games that they'll play together. And then you figure, okay, if you can win your division, now you're cooking. Now you can go out and win the NL. And that's what they should do.
They were in a no-lose situation.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I look at, you know, Jake, Padre fan 67, Padres underscore fan 67.
Mm-hmm.
This is a foolish take. He signed for the rest of his career at under market value. Absolutely right.
Right. But
he's under market value. No question.
Here's the thing. And I'm not saying that he's not under market, because he is under market. That's true. But that doesn't change the fact that you just committed $300 million over 14 years to one player. Because here's the thing, and this is something, and again, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer with this, but I want people to consider it. What is your take going to be in 5 years if this team has not won a World Series, but they've been the Dodgers, right? How many World Series appearances did it take for the Dodgers to win one? A lot, right?
A lot.
It took them a long time to win
one. It's hard to win a World Series.
So my point is, hey, if you're a Padre fan, are you just in that place where you're like, look, I'd rather them spend all this money and lock up Tatis and do all of this and get us to the World Series? I'd rather do that than you know, just kind of, you know, meddle in mediocrity. Okay, I get that. I can get down with that. But let's not say that there's no risk in this, because there's definitely big risk in it, for sure.
Yeah. Listen, again, they're going to win the NL West.
I wouldn't book that yet. I think it's going to be a fight with the Dodgers.
I think pitching always beats hitting. The best pitching will always beat the best hitters. And I think the Padres have the best pitching. I think their defense.
You're taking Yu Darvish over Trevor Bauer?
Yes. Absolutely, positively, every day, including
that's where we disagree.
Hopefully, twice a week.
And look, I hope that Darvish is healthy all year long, seriously. But I have concerns about that. That's the other side of this conversation I do have a little bit of concern about. You've got a guy in Lamet who's had major injuries. You've got a guy in Darvish who had some really rough years in Chicago, but then bounced back and has had some really nice years before he left. And you would think that he would continue that trend. But then I look at a guy like Paddock, who got roughed up in the second half of the year. He was really good the first half. He's young.
A young guy.
I know he's young, but what I'm saying, listen, what I'm saying is the Dodgers have experience on their side. Trevor Bauer is going to come out.
And that's currency. Experience is currency.
Dude, Trevor Bauer is going to come out and buzzsaw teams, man. That's why he went with the Dodgers instead of the Mets. And I'm just telling you, it's not, we cannot confidently say yet that the Padres are definitely winning the division. I think that's going to be a battle all year
long. I would put it at 80-20 they win the division.
No.
You don't think so?
No. You're way too high on the Padres right now.
Too and
high.
Again, I get it. And this is why I say, maybe my passion is getting the best of me in this situation. I want that team to win a World Series so desperately.
Well, that's a different thing. I want them to win too. I hate the Dodgers. I want the Padres to win the division.
But right, I want them to win because I actually am a Padre fan.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question I hate the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I want them to win because I'm a Padre fan.
Yeah.
I want them to win because I reminisce in romance all the nights I've spent in that ballpark looking at sunsets.
And we have spent a lot of nights there.
Right? Like, I want that team to win so desperately.
Yeah.
But this doesn't, I get it. We could go round and round.
Yeah.
We could go round and round. They're in an interesting spot. Now it's time to win.
Yeah, it's time to go and play.
It's time to win. If they win 5 World Series in the next 10 years, if they win 3 in the next 10 years, I'm completely wrong today. You can come back in 5 years if they win 2, 3, you know, World Series in the next 7 years.
Yeah.
Come back, point to the show, and tell me what a moron I am. What are the chances that happens? Not much, because I guarantee you the Dodgers are going to reload.
Yeah.
I guarantee you the Dodgers are not going anywhere.
The Cardinals are good.
Like, you look
there's
at
a lot of teams in the NL that are good.
The Cubs,
man,
are terrible, so you don't have to worry about them ever again.
Nope.
At least not in my lifetime, which hopefully is 65 more years. thank you. Appreciate that. But I want them to. It's time to win now. The expectation has to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to go up right now.
Yeah.
And the expectation cannot be going to the playoffs.
No.
It cannot be winning a playoff series. If you don't go to the World Series at a minimum, go play for the World Series. You are in the same position that the San Francisco Giants were in.
Mm-hmm.
You have young players that are your players that are under your control. And you've done a nice job sprinkling in the Machados of the world, the Darvishes, the Hosmers.
And what did the Giants do?
They won World Series.
Three World Series.
Multiple World
in
Series.
6 years. On even years.
Yes. And I...
That's what needs to happen.
How
here.
Did they do
Simple
it?
Simple as that.
How did they... They did it with pitching.
Yeah.
They did it when Brian Wilson was an incredible closer.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, Timmy and Kane. They did it with incredible pitching. Obviously, Madison Bumgarner. I just want to see the Padres do the same thing.
Yeah, and I think this first season right out of the gate, too, just to finish this up, is like this first season will define the next five. Because the first season, let's say that they come out and they disappoint. Let's say that that's what happens. Okay, that totally changes your trajectory, right? That totally changes the feel of the organization. But let's say, and this is what I feel like is more likely, let's say that they come out and they're a 100-win team, right? They win the division. They go to the playoffs. They win all three series. They go to the World Series. And let's say they lose the World Series in 7 games. Okay, great. You did your best. You lost the World Series in 7 games. Everybody, that's a successful season, you know? But I think at the end of the day, all I want to see out of Fernando Tatis is I just want to see durability and longevity through the contract. That's all I want to see, right? I don't question his ability. I don't question, I think we can easily say he's one of the most athletic players at his position across both leagues, AL and NL, easily one of the most athletic players we've seen. And I think he's got major swag. He is their Javi Baez. He is their guy. He is that dude. And that's what I'm most excited about for this contract. I just think when you pay him a couple years early, there's a little bit of risk in it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. It's not a high... Listen, I get it. Again, it's not a high-risk deal. You saved yourself money in the long term. Mm-hmm. My bigger question is, what the fuck was Tatis Jr. thinking here? Like, why did you do this now?
It does make the question.
It makes you wonder.
Yeah.
And hopefully he's thinking...
Dude, baseball contracts are crazy expensive.
Yeah, and hopefully... And they're... What are they?
Guaranteed.
They're fully guaranteed.
Yep.
Hopefully he's thinking, well, man, it's $300 million. How much more money do I need?
And I'm fine with that, dude. Listen,
okay, cool.
This guy, cool. You want to talk about having it made? You're in San Diego. You're playing for one of the sweetheart teams in Major League Baseball. You just signed up for $340 million. You're taking care of you. You're taking care of your family. You're taking care of your kids and their kids. Like, this is everything that you could ever want as a Major League Baseball player. And I give Fernando Tatis all the credit in the world for what he's done in being able to earn this contract. All I'm saying on the risk side, again, I want to be super clear. I'm just simply saying, if you look back over the course of Major League Baseball's history, these contracts tend to be really bad after 5 years.
Yes.
That's my only concern. After 5 years, what's this look like?
But by the way, he'll be 27 in 5 years.
He'll be in his prime.
I mean, he'll be in his prime in 5 years. Like, this is... Again, there's a lot of reasons to love this deal. I'm just more of a skeptic. That's it. I'm more of a, come on, guy. Does he ever win an MVP?
Yes, multiple.
I think probably.
I think he's probably a 3-MVP guy.
I hope so.
Yeah.
He better.
10-time Gold Glover.
Is he ever the best shortstop in the division?
I think he's pushing it now.
I think he's really close.
Hell, I think the division. How about in Major League Baseball? I mean, he's in that conversation. He's in that conversation.
I think him, Baez, Tim Anderson in
Lindor.
Chicago. Lindor's got to win. I think there's some questions about – Lindor's a good shortstop. There's no doubt about that.
Take winning out of it. I mean, Lindor is one of the best shortstops in the league.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I get it. I just think you had club control for multiple years. Why did he do it? Like, what? That's the other part of this that nobody's talking about. He left probably $100 million on the table.
He'll get paid again. He won't play all 14 years of this deal. I guarantee it. He'll re-up. He'll
no chance.
Dude, it'll happen. I guarantee it, dude. Guaranteed. Okay. Guarantee you. Because what's going to happen? What's going to happen? We're going to get 5 to 7 years into this deal. They will have gone through their winning window as an organization, right? And then what's Tatis going to do? Tatis is going to say, well, this new prospect.
But how often do you see contracts get torn up in baseball?
Oh, I think you can renegotiate a baseball contract, totally.
Yeah, well, you can, but how often does that happen?
Well, it doesn't happen a lot because typically when guys get this kind of money, they haven't just played 143 games. They're 5 years into their career, and they retire on these deals, right? But this guy is so young that, you know, 7 years into the deal, he's going to be like 28 or whatever. So he's going to be in his prime.
And I'm just looking at other shortstops. He's better than Gleyber Torres.
Yes.
I mean, he's, in my opinion, he's better than Carlos Correa.
Yes.
Which is a guy that nobody ever talks about. I think he's better than Correa. Xander Bogaerts is interesting. I think he's better than Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah.
You know, I is he better than Javi Baez?
It's close.
It's really close. I think offensively, he's probably better than Baez.
He's more well-rounded than Baez is, absolutely. I think Baez probably has a little more power, but Baez also strikes out a lot more.
You know, like, I think Lindor's interesting. I've always underrated him. You've always loved him.
Mm-hmm.
I've always underrated him. And we'll see. We'll see. I just wanted to...
I want a World Series.
I want
Simple
it.
As that.
I want
That's it.
That's it. Yeah,
win the World Series, and we can stop talking about contracts.
They better win it anyway. Let's stop. We've belabored the point. We've belabored the point far beyond where it needs to be, and my Twitter feed is exploding with Padre fans telling me what an asshole I am.
I didn't sleep for the past two nights because of this. I was that upset.
Yeah, it's that asshole in Utah who caused me to lose sleep in Wales, Regina.
I personally would like an apology.
Yeah, well, it's not going to happen. Ask me if they win 3-7, 3-5. Okay, cool. I'm an idiot.
All gas, no break.
I'm all in on this being too early. I'm all in on this being too early. I am all.
Oh.
I'm all in. Is baseball your favorite sport?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
I love baseball. Yeah.
Football's mine.
But again,
I love baseball.
Like, I grew up playing it. It's like, it's my pastime game.
Yeah, so I played baseball my entire life. I'd still be playing now if there wasn't a pandemic. Like, 10 people have been like, hey, man, why don't you join my adult team? I would love to. I'm not getting the Rona. I'm not getting the Rona.
Yeah.
I would love to. I miss playing. I miss the days. You know, one of the coolest things I've ever done is played with Brett Saberhagen. Back in L.A., back in the day.
Saberhagen.
Yeah, it was amazing. He's a pitcher who played shortstop for us and hit bombs.
Dude.
Like, that was amazing.
I'll never forget when we jumped into a men's league game in SoCal and we just took over, bro.
Okay, so let's tell that story real quick. We were looking to play baseball together, Jake and I. So we got into an 18-plus league. And... I mean, you may not tell, you might think that I'm just a model and stuff because of my good looks, but I can actually rake a little bit. And so we get into this men's league, and they're like, okay, you guys will bat 9th and 10th, like in game one. And we just crushed. The next week we were hitting like 3rd and 4th, and we just crushed. Like it was awesome. It was the one I will never forget. Is we were playing in this huge park. Like it was I don't even remember where it was. It might be in Covina or somewhere. I don't remember. We were playing in this huge park.
Yeah.
And legitimately I can hit. Like I've hit a lot of home runs in my life as a baseball player. Like I can really hit. The center field was probably one of those 410, 420.
Center field, dude.
And I hit a ball off the wall in center field. And I don't know why it's stuck in my head. I just remember that when I hit the ball, the pitcher threw his arms down to his side. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Or like, how did that happen?
How did you leave it over the plate?
Yeah. And I if I remember right, it was a single off the center field wall. I'm not a gifted base stealer. But anyway, like it was just fun. Like hitting ropes to right center field.
Yeah.
Because all my power's to right center.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting ropes to right center field was, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It's a good time.
It is. I miss being young and thin.
Yeah.
Anyway, make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Feels good, doesn't it? To talk baseball.
Oh, my God, dude.
Stop.
I love when people say that we don't know baseball because we do know baseball.
No. What happens is inevitably when you talk about something that people are passionate about, sports.
Yeah.
You're always wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're an idiot. You guys don't like what Stevie Woods said. You guys don't watch Padre baseball.
Are people myring?
Like it's what Jazz fans say. You guys don't watch Jazz basketball.
Anybody see that win last night?
Yeah, right. And don't care if the Clippers had health. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Oh, you don't know what you're talking. You guys should do some research, because we disagree with you. We should do some research, or we don't watch the Jazz or the Padre. Like that's what's great about sports. I'm not wrong. You're not right. I'm not right and you're not wrong. Like, it's a conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a back and forth. That doesn't mean you're an idiot. Well, you are, because you're
wrong.
Oh,
he don't know nothing.
And you don't agree with me, dumbass. But that doesn't make you wrong. In all seriousness, it doesn't make you wrong.
Who the f*** is that guy?
That's what I'm saying. So I said, yeah. But anyway, the point is, that's what's great about sports.
Yeah.
Are we talking Jazz or NFL quarterbacks?
Let's talk Jazz. Carson Wentz is still going to be on the market tomorrow.
I was going to go quarterbacks right there. Carson Wentz doesn't want to be a Chicago Bear. Speaking of things I'm passionate about. Carson Wentz doesn't want to play for us. Us,
because you're on the team.
Us, because I'm on the team, man.
Yeah, where's the hat? Where's the hat?
I'm on the ball club. Listen, man, like, I'm on the ball club. And to tell you the truth, no, go Bears.
Yeah, I like football. I like football season and all the things that go with it.
Yeah, I like football season too, Coach. But the point is, Carson Wentz doesn't want to be a Chicago Bear. And I say fuck him. I'm fine with that, right? Sorry. I say good. Because the thing that I said yesterday on Twitter that so many people, again, I got, you don't know what you're talking about. He was an MVP candidate. Okay, cool.
He was an MVP. It's sitting on the bench.
Yeah, let the guy go play for the Colts and be an MVP candidate. I'm good with that. Because what I said on Twitter is even more true today.
Oh, man.
The Bears are winning by losing on Carson Wentz.
Yes.
When Carson Wentz is like, oh, I don't want to be a Chicago Bear. I want to go play for, you know, this guy in that city. Okay, great. Go play for Frank Reich in Indianapolis. I'm good with that. Right?
Go be on injured reserve for any team but the Bears.
Yes, because that is what is the best predictor of future happenings? Past experience.
Unless you're Fernando Tatis and you don't have past experience.
Okay. SLC
Sorry.
Supercars.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
On
Sorry.
Twitter and
My
Instagram,
bad.
SLC
My
Supercars.
Bad. My bad, that was too far. My bad.
Bro. The point is, Carson Wentz doesn't want to be a Chicago Bear. So again, I say screw him. Let's move on. You don't need him. You don't want him. And if Carson Wentz wants to be a Colt, let him go be a Colt.
Yeah.
Right? I'm good with that. But the one thing I know about the Bears is they will not rebound from this. They will wind up with Maserati Mitch.
Yep.
He will be their quarterback, and they're going to suffer through another terrible season because they're too loyal and they are never, ever going to fire Matt Nagy over the quarterback.
Yeah.
They'll never admit that Ryan Pace is a terrible GM. The good news is Carson Wentz is saving the Bears from the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Let them have that in Indianapolis.
By the way, just super quick, like, I don't think that he could even – in if you're Carson Wentz, right? Because if you're Carson Wentz, isn't a conversation in your head, okay – I need to resurrect my career if I'm going to make this thing work. What organization can I do that with? I would agree it's not the Bears. And I would agree that you have a better opportunity with that with the Colts. And I think that Maserati Mitch has some great numbers, but he's just being held down by an awful front office and head coaching staff. And it's really frustrating because I feel like I really do truly in my heart of hearts believe that Maserati Mitch, Mitchell Trubisky, could really do some nice things in this league. I'm not saying that he's ever going to be an MVP or he's ever going to be on Mahomes' level because he's never going to be that guy. But that doesn't mean that he can't take you to the postseason because he's shown us that he can do that. That doesn't mean that he can't improve his game and stop turning the football over so much. That's where I think the improvement can come for him. But you're right. I don't think that ever happens for him right now.
Not with Matt Nagy as your head coach and offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. And listen, I am hopeful that at some point Mitch Trubisky turns into the all-world quarterback that the Bears thought he was. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen with this coaching staff. And really, when I look at Carson Wentz has far more upside, in my opinion, than Mitch Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're being really serious about it,
yeah.
Carson Wentz, when he's right, is an MVP candidate. But he's so rarely hit at his best because your best ability is your availability. And Carson Wentz is not often available or hasn't been over the last few seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a risk the Bears can take. But then again, if you're Carson Wentz, I agree with you 100%, Mr. Jake. If you want to resurrect your career and show that you got what it takes, don't do that in Chicago because
mm-hmm.
the Bears are not going to be good enough. That offensive line is still trash. You're one running back, and who knows what the hell is going to happen with Allen Robinson. You have all these questions in this organization. I don't disagree with what Carson Wentz is doing.
Right.
I'm just happy because he's not going to be a Chicago Bear.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm with you.
And if the Colts have to give up multiple picks to get him, okay, great. Weaken the Colts because that's going to be a really good football team. On paper, right? On paper. So I find that incredibly interesting. But let's truth tell about the Chicago Bears. They're not in the market for Deshaun Watson. They're not in the – let's say Ben Roethlisberger leaves Pittsburgh, and we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
They're not on Ben Roethlisberger's radar.
No.
In Chicago.
No.
That's not happening.
No.
They're not involved in, by the way, John Lynch in San Francisco, are you you open to trading Jimmy Garoppolo to us? They're not having those conversations.
And this is why the Bears need to go after Deshaun Watson, which they're still not going to do. And that's the worst part about it. The thing with this offseason, honestly – is that this is one of the most aggressive off seasons we've seen in terms of the quarterback carousel. Like most off seasons in the NFL, there's like one or two guys that are going to make a move and, you know, that's going to be the headline. There's like 10 guys this off season at the quarterback position who are going to be changing hands. And it's just frustrating as hell that the Bears will not have this culture of like the ultimate accountability, because that's what you need in the league to win consistently. Until that happens, they're always going to be mediocre, and I'm always going to have to hear about how craphead Aaron Rodgers and his damn mustache are winning the division. And it's maddening, dude. It's maddening because it shouldn't be like that.
By the way, Barry makes a good point. Barry, the New York Giant fan, makes a great point.
Oh, he's not a Padre fan this morning?
No, he's not. Damn. Not no, he's a Barry is a New York Yankee fan.
Yeah, I know.
If memory serves.
Yeah.
He wants us to succinctly understand that not every team can have a quarterback the caliber of Daniel Jones.
Wow.
What is the caliber of Daniel Jones? Let's not go there.
No.
What about my favorite quarterback subject in the NFL? That'd be Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, because we still don't have clarity. And every time we talk about Deshaun Watson and every time we talk about quarterbacks in the NFL, I still ask myself, what in the world is going on with the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott? He is still not under contract. I don't know what they're doing or why they're waiting, but the longer this goes on, the more money Dak Prescott's going to make, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's like I said, I brought this up in the Tatis conversation. This is the damn near the exact same conversation, right? Dak Prescott has earned his money, right? Dak Prescott has shown he's a 5,000-yard passer. Dak Prescott has shown he can throw you a bunch of touchdowns and not turn it over a lot and hit all the metrics, completion percentage, everything. Yet he's not being paid. And this situation is approaching the same situation the Jazz had with Gordon Hayward, where they let him off the leash for too long. He started earning more league value and more clout, as they say. And then what winds up happening? We get a letter in the Players Tribune. We get a contract with the Celtics where he goes to die, and now he's resurrecting his career with the Hornets. What will happen with Dak Prescott? Because he deserves to be paid. He doesn't need to resurrect his career because it's different in the NFL. He's already earned it. Everybody knows what he can do. So I don't know, man. It's really frustrating. I feel like Jerry is intentionally holding this up. I don't know why. And I would think that this would get done this offseason, but I don't know.
What is the deadline? March 9th, I think, is the deadline. I mean, if you franchise tag Dak Prescott, I think it's $37, almost $38 million just for next season.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're going to wind up, I would guess, if you're going to tag him once, you're going to do the Kirk Cousins tag him twice thing.
The double tag.
You know, like, but Kirk Cousins has already said, hey, it's not a bad way to make a living.
Well, no,
you
it's
know?
$40 million, damn near.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to, what is that, $74 million?
Something like
if
that.
If you're going to put $74 or $76 million, if you round up, you're going to put that money in my pocket over two seasons, I'll take it.
Yeah.
So will Dak Prescott. I think it is really interesting to see what they do, because the Dallas Cowboys can't afford that. Jerry Jones could strike a check for $38 million right now.
Jerry Jones doesn't want to pay it.
They don't have the cap room to pay it.
Yeah.
So it is in the Dallas Cowboys' best interest to negotiate a longer deal that pays him good money over a longer term.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like he's kind of holding their feet to the fire on it.
Well, and, as
and
he
I
should.
Would,
he
yeah,
should, dude. I mean, and this is how the NFL works, and this is how you know several negotiations work in sports. Like you as Dak Prescott, you're in a position where you can write your own ticket because you know that multiple teams will come out with a contract that is where you want it to be. and probably for the years you want it to be. Because at the end of the day, all NFL players care about is the annual number. They don't care about 10-year deals the way Fernando Tatis would or any NBA player would or whatever, right? They just want the annual number. And typically, quarterbacks want it for 5 years. Now, Jerry's never going to do that. And this is why I have concerns about Dak Prescott's long-term future with that organization. One way or the other, he's going to get paid. Simple as that. One way or the other, Dak Prescott will get paid $40 million over 3 to 5 years. It's just a matter of who.
If you look at the Dallas Cowboys cap, I think their restructure candidates are Amari Cooper, who's got a $22 million cap hit. You want to restructure that because you can, I mean, you can pretty much manipulate that, almost that entire number, manipulate that and move it down the road, sign him to an extension. DeMarcus Lawrence is making $25 million. good number. Look at Ezekiel Elliott, 13.7. What did we
say?
That's
the guy that's getting overpaid right now.
What did we say? You don't pay a running back at the top of his position.
Yeah.
Because you can find running backs.
Yeah.
You can. They don't need an awesome running back in Dallas.
See the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Leonard Fournette's a big reason why the Bucks won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
I mean, that's a lot of money. I look at guys like Lyle Collins, Jalen Smith, certainly Zach Martin, a guard making $17 million.
Yep.
That's a guy you probably want to restructure,
right?
Like they've got to probably right now today find a way to create $30 million in cap, because don't forget also they're probably going to have what? $8 to $10, $12 million in rookie deals that they've got to fit on their cap as well. Like they're the Dallas Cowboys do not have a ton of flexibility.
Yeah.
Almost none as we sit here today.
That's why they're probably just going to tag them this year and figure it out later. I mean, that's, you know, that's what is the likelihood.
What do you make of the Ben Roethlisberger situation? Because I think this is one of those deals where you're going to have to also be very creative if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is certainly at the end of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like Ben Roethlisberger, very clearly his best days are behind him.
Yep.
Coming off of Tommy John surgery, you know, coming off of a season that did not end the way the Steelers wanted it to end. They've got issues at skill positions. A lot of their guys are often injured. They're going to have to pay some guys as well. This very well may be the end of Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. This is the end of an era.
Yeah, look, I think it's been – this conversation's been looming over the organization for, like, the last three or four seasons, I would say. It's really just been a matter of, like, when does the car finally really break down and stop moving down the road? And we're at that point. And I think that's why you're seeing Ben coming out in the media and saying that, you know, he'll take a league minimum, or, you know, he doesn't care about his number this year, I think is exactly what he said, which means he'll take the league minimum. And, you know, great. That's fine. But that doesn't mean that that's what's best for the organization. And if you're the Steelers, this is one of those decisions, and we talk about it pretty consistently on the show, I feel like, with especially in the NFL, but across all sports, where, you know, you got to be cold-blooded sometimes about the decisions you make in terms of, you know, how long to hold on to a player or when to cut them. And I think the Patriots have done a great job not holding on to guys, and this is one of those that I don't think they should hold on to them.
Ben Roethlisberger has a cap hit right now today of $41.5 million for this season. You're looking at a situation where if you cut him, he'd be a $19 million savings on the cap. That's a lot of cap space in the NFL.
Sure.
Now, you're going to have to find a way to replace him, and I'm sure that they will. But when you look at what these raw, real numbers look like, I don't see how you restructure enough to make a Ben Roethlisberger deal tenable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Are you going to take a huge pay cut if you're Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess so. You know, and when the general manager, Kevin Colbert, says, quote, "As we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He reiterated to us that he wants to continue to play. We told him we have to look at his current situation."
Which means, hey, we're going to have to tear that contract up.
Which means we're not married to you, sir.
Yeah, I mean, why
That's
would
what
they
that
be?
Means.
But listen, they're not being, like, I'm not saying you're insinuating this, but let's not sit here and like, say that they're being unreasonable. I mean, it's time. Like, it's been time. Like how many times do we talk on this show about how organizations have a quarterback that's aging, see Tom Brady, right? Because he is aging, but he's still playing a hell of a game, clearly. But how many times do we talk about an organization that's in that position? You've got the veteran guys starting for you. You've got nothing behind him. That's where they're at. They have nothing behind him. And so that's the trouble. Like, I don't know how you work with that, because you'd be in a much better situation with this negotiation if you had a young guy sitting behind him that you knew was going to start for you in two seasons. Okay, great. Let's sign you to league minimum. Let's tear up the old contract.
They don't
have that.
Yeah. Well, and he played in 15. He didn't have a bad season. You know, he played in 15 games and started 15 games. 3,800 yards, 33 touchdowns, 10 picks. That's not a bad season. That's very Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, he didn't have a bad season.
Yeah.
He's just not
and
the same
because
guy.
Of Roethlisberger's name and star power with the Pittsburgh fan base, he's still putting people in the seats.
Yeah. It'll be fun to watch that one for sure. By the way, Houston Texans are adamant they're not trading you a guy.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Keep lying your ass off.
Deshaun Watson. They're adamant they're not trading him.
Yeah, okay.
I would put it at 90% he's not going back to Houston.
Yeah.
He's never going to wear a Texans uniform.
He'll sit out. He'll never suit up for them again.
You don't think so?
He'll sit out, yeah.
I don't know, man. You get through – no. You get through – the Bears are not in it. Like, and again – Calvin says you're convinced the Bears are in no way going after Deshaun Watson.
No,
in
I don't
no
think
way,
they
shape,
are, man.
Or form.
Like, it's very frustrating. I want them to. That's what needs to happen, and they're not at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I think Deshaun Watson is going to be a 49er.
Which would be awesome for the league.
I think that's the way that works out. Yeah. I mean, it is the single best fit for him. You know, for him, he probably would love to be a Dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tax money implications, that would make him a whole hell of a lot more money.
Yep.
But it is what it is. I think if you are the Houston Texans, now you're in do what's best for you mode, which would be make Cal McNair sell the team.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen.
No.
So real quick on the Utah Jazz, because I know we got to get to ripping Ted Cruz. Jazz win against the Clippers last night in a game that, let's be honest, the Utah Jazz did not play very well last night. And how could they? They have played a ton of games in a very tight window. You're on the road for back-to-back games against the Clippers. They just didn't play well. And they still found a way to win that game comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if Kawhi Leonard didn't play. I don't care if Paul George is still out with whatever Paul George is still out with. Because he's always out with something.
Always.
I think the Utah Jazz showed with this win that they are one of the best teams in the NBA. In fact, I think they showed they're the best team in the NBA because they have grit.
Mm-hmm.
When you have guys like Bogdanovich not shooting well for long stretches of that game, when you have the Clippers attacking the basket early, when you have the Clippers knocking down threes playing a tiny lineup that ran up and down the floor on the Jazz, and the Jazz still found a way to persevere and win that game.
Yeah,
those are the kind of games where when you get to the playoffs – and they win a championship, you can go back and say, yeah, remember that Clipper game in L.A. that night when we were all dead tired because we had played 80 games in like 15 days? Yeah. That's one of those games you'll point to and remember.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the Utah Jazz are the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, right now I think they are. I mean, they're even when they play bad, they're still playing pretty well. You know, I mean, they're still figuring it out. Rudy had a big night last night. Zubats really was not really all that much of a match for him. And I think that, you know, again...
Well, and Serge Ibaka, by the way, got the start in that game.
Yeah, but, like, even Serge Ibaka, like, yes, he can play, but Rudy really should win both of those matchups, honestly. You know, he really should. And he did. And he played well. And I think that the Jazz are just in a position where you just got to keep winning games now. You know, you just have to keep going. And this is where the longevity of the NBA season comes in because, yeah, you're playing really well right now. But let's keep that going. Let's make this the new normal of who you are. Let's not make this just a 20-game streak where you played really well and then we're going to go back to super inconsistency. And I don't think they'll do that. I think they're in a good place. So, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting that the Paul George situation in L.A. is...
in wherever.
I just don't know what you do with Paul. He has got a bone edema, which is swelling in his bone marrow in his toe. I've never heard of that.
What?
Bone edema.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
What?
Also known as bone marrow lesion.
Bro.
Occurs when fluid builds up in the bone marrow. Bone marrow edema is typically a response to an injury such as a fracture or osteoarthritis. Bone marrow edema usually resolves itself with rest and physical therapy. Paul George listed his day-to-day with bone marrow swelling.
So I said, yeah.
Like, how does this even happen? Like, it's amazing to me. Like, I just, this fucking guy, say it, it's fine. This guy, he's the guy that's the overpaid superstar who never cashes that check for the franchise. He never brings you a chip.
Yep.
And they continue to be an enigma.
And that's why they're always going to be the little brother.
That's what I'm saying, always, man. You know, and Kawhi Leonard, I'm not going to say what I call him, but Kawhi Leonard, long fingers, sir. Long, and they're thick fingers, too. Do the math.
Can you measure it?
With his fingers, you probably could. I have no problem saying his fingers are longer than my Johnson, probably. But anyway, too much. Now this show's become
Johnson.
Awful. The Clippers are not. I don't see them as a championship contender.
They're not a winner. They're a postseason team that's going to consistently get knocked out. That's who they are.
And I look at the Jazz on the fast break last night, and Jordan Clarkson pulls up to shoot a three. And he missed, and Rudy Gobert tip slams it.
Dude.
That's who they are.
That's who they are, man.
They are we're running the break here. I'm going to stop at the three-point line and take a J.
Oh, wait. The paint's wide open? Nah, we'll take the three.
I'm one-on-one. Yeah, let me shoot a three. What are you, LA Fitness? Come on, guy. Go to the basket. Right? Like, that's...
Even if you'd like to be.
Like, come on, dude. You're not.
You're not.
That's not who you are.
You're not. Which I think is amazing. You know, I mean, it is, you know, it is what it is. Sean says, morning, guys. First game watching the Jazz last night. Wow. I mean, I was just in a sports app and someone called them frauds. Well, I mean, you can't, Sean, I'm telling you, and everybody else who doesn't pay attention to the Utah Jazz, that team's legit.
We don't watch the Utah Jazz, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we don't watch
everybody
Jazz.
Like us who doesn't watch the Jazz. that's funny. But the point is, the Jazz are legit.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a team that is going to, I think is likely going to be very close to winning the Western Conference. If Anthony Davis is out for the year, if he's out until the end of March, it's over. The Jazz are going to win the West.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I think really the only question that's going to continue to hang over this organization is, are they just a really good regular season team that is capable of winning the Western Conference, or are they a championship caliber team that, you know, has taken the next step?
They're a championship caliber team.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to prove that every night.
Yeah.
So, is what it is. By the way, congratulations to Jazz coach Quinn Snyder,
yeah,
who is also going to coach the Western Conference All-Stars.
Awesome. Well-deserved.
Well-deserved.
Yeah.
Let's finish this show out by talking about Ted Cruz.
Good old Ted.
Teddy Cruz. Ted Cruz is senator from Texas.
Yep.
You may have heard about this. Texas is having one of the worst natural disasters in the history of their state.
They have the sniffles.
No, it's actually legitimately cold, sir. pipes are frozen. Homes are totaled. Millions of people are without power. So Ted Cruz mobilizes reinforcements, aid, making sure that people are getting taken care of.
Uh-huh. Great.
No, he didn't. He went to Mexico.
Yeah, take it. See ya.
What a dick. Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas. It's cold. It's snowing. People are losing their homes. It is one of the worst disasters in the history of that state. Ted Cruz took his family, got on a plane, and went to Cancun.
It's actually not that easy, but for me, it was easy.
We'll see you later, guys.
You're a dick.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Meanwhile, Beto O'Rourke, who lost to Ted Cruz, I believe,
yeah,
is mobilizing support and help.
Mm-hmm.
He is what Beto O'Rourke put together a group of volunteers. They got on the phones and started calling every number that they could get in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And they started talking to people who were in trouble, who needed help.
Yeah.
And they started sending help to their homes. They started sending help to their, like, there was one person who was, because people are dying because they're sleeping in their car or they're using their car to heat their home.
Yeah.
They're dying of carbon monoxide poisoning.
Uh-huh.
People are dying because they're freezing to death because they have no heat or water.
Yeah.
It's a life and death situation in Texas. Beto O'Rourke is sending resources and assets to people's homes in Texas to help them survive by putting a group of volunteers together, calling people and reaching out. He's not a senator.
Just a guy right now.
Ted Cruz is a senator and he's in Cancun with his wife and kids.
Yeah.
I'm amazed by that.
Yeah.
Sadly, I'm not shocked. I'm amazed, but I'm not shocked.
Yeah, it's not surprising.
It is. I can't believe that Ted Cruz is a guy who ran for president in 2016, has aspirations to do so again. And during one of the worst natural disasters in the history of your state, you got on a plane and flew to Cancun. Never mind the pandemic.
By the way, quick question. Why is it that if you're going to do that, you're telling me Ted Cruz doesn't have enough money to get a private jet? You're telling me he doesn't have enough money to...
Apparently not. Like, apparently not. He flew. He didn't even fly first class.
Yeah, I know.
Which, what does that tell you? This was a spur of the moment. Holy shit, it's cold. Let's go to Cancun.
Yeah.
That's what this was out of Ted Cruz and his family.
It's not good enough.
It really is not good enough.
It's not good enough. And it's classic politics right now.
And finally, let's talk about Rush Limbaugh. The titan of conservative narratives in this country on the EIB network. His network was called EIB, the Excellence in Broadcasting Network.
Okay.
Rush Limbaugh died of cancer, lung cancer, I believe, yesterday. And he is, whether you like him or not, whether you agree with his politics or not, Rush Limbaugh was a pioneer in talk radio. Rush Limbaugh was a difference maker in talk radio. Rush Limbaugh set political policy in this country for over a decade in talk radio. Rush Limbaugh was an influential voice in the Trump era. Rush Limbaugh made a lot of things possible. A lot of things possible. Was he a racist? Maybe. There's a lot of people who feel like he was a racist. Was he a misogynist, anti-woman? Many people feel like he was. That could all be true. The guy still has a substantial legacy in the media in this country. He has a substantial legacy in politics in this country. And the thing that bothered me most yesterday, when the news came out that Rush Limbaugh had passed, were the celebrations that happened on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how much more uncouth you could be than celebrating a man dying of cancer. I mean, karma, if you believe in that kind of thing, and I do, karma is not a kind foe when you laugh at somebody who died of cancer. Like I just feel like we in this country have gotten to this point where we can't have a conversation about anything other than how was your day.
Yep.
We cannot say more than hello to each other without getting heated. You don't have to agree with Rush Limbaugh, but to try and deny his impact on talk radio, the media, politics, elections, culture, the conservative movement in this country, I think is foolish.
I would agree. I mean, yeah, clearly. I just think the biggest thing here is that Rush Limbaugh, for me, is not... I didn't spend a lot of time listening to the guy. I know he's a titan. I know that he transformed the game, for sure. No doubt about it. But for me, when I heard Rush Limbaugh died, I was like, man, that's really sad. But, you know, everybody's time comes.
Yeah, I don't know. What happened to compassion and empathy in this country?
Donald Trump happened.
I don't know. I think it was on the decline before that. I think it certainly Donald Trump highlighted and magnified the polarity in this country. There's no doubt about that. But I just don't see. I don't know when we got to mocking people who die of cancer. Well, that's what bothers me.
But that's
me.
What Twitter is, dude. Twitter is full of Twitter tough guys.
Yeah, but I think it's more than Twitter. I think it was news. I think it was TV shows. I think it was pundits. I think it was.
Yeah, I mean, the paper took him to the woodshed. There's no doubt. I mean, there were multiple papers that did that to him.
And I understand that you have to talk about all aspects of Rush Limbaugh's career. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to celebrate the guy dying of cancer. I'm not going to celebrate him dying, period. Now, a lot of people said, you know, hey, he's no Alex Trebek. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Alex Trebek, also died of cancer recently, is a guy that, you know, obviously was treasured in this country.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Is Rush Limbaugh a national treasure? No.
Treasure's not the word.
He's not a national treasure. Is he an icon of radio? Yes.
You know him, and that's why he deserves respect.
Yes.
He has
a legacy, and that won't be denied. I would just caution you. If you're one of those folks who wants to celebrate his death, I would caution you to A, unsubscribe from our YouTube channel, and B, just don't watch our show anymore. You know, don't listen to our show, because I just don't want you around. I don't want to be around people who would celebrate Rush Limbaugh dying of cancer. Yeah. I just don't. If you want to do the Dr. Laura and celebrate that he's not, you know, had he ever lost his radio show? Well, guess what? He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Even when people were saying that he was a racist and a misogynist. Well, guess what? He didn't. It really is that simple. I'll stop. I happen to be very... Today we talked about a lot of things I'm passionate about.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised how passionate you are about Rush.
It's not that I'm passionate about Rush Limbaugh per se.
Not that you're Rush about like what he did. I'm just like just this whole conversation.
I think we've lost the ability to empathize with people. We just don't care. Ted Cruz being in Cancun means that he has no compassion for the people of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You're a U.S. senator for the state of Texas. People are dying, and you're in Cancun in warm weather.
And he'll find a way to spin it.
Right?
He'll find a way.
You're dying. People in your state are dying. Your constituents are dying. And you're in Cancun because you don't empathize or care about them. When you think about Rush Limbaugh's wife today, think about his friends. You know, like, I don't wish cancer on anybody. I don't wish death on anybody. I wish everybody would live forever.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that Rush Limbaugh should have been on the radio forever? Probably not.
Right.
Ted Cruz, should he be a senator? Probably not. But I just don't wish people ill. That's what bothers me. But anyway.
Yeah, I think our people are our country is full of people who, you know, because they disagree with what Rush talked about, and I'm not saying that I agree with, you know, a lot of the stuff that Rush said, because I don't, but yeah, dying of cancer is a miserable death. Like, there's no question about it. It's a long, miserable, you know, suffering death.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. All right, there you go. Now that we ended the show on a downer, we didn't get to talk about Bitcoin today. We ran out of time.
It's okay. It'll be there tomorrow.
We'll talk about Bitcoin at $53,000 per coin. You missed your window. We'll talk about that. I actually follow Bitcoin daily.
Yeah.
I bought $500 worth of Bitcoin when I think it was at $13.
Yeah, and then I forgot my password, and now I can't get it.
I forgot my keychain code detector ray gun thing. So my $500 is lost in the blockchain. We'll see you tomorrow morning on a Friday. By the way, what's tomorrow, Jake?
Friday?
No.
Your birthday.
Dick. Tomorrow is my birthday. I'll be 31 again. Until tomorrow, say happy birthday, fat ass.
Happy birthday.